This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
From all I can tell, Dr. Ford trusted Professor Ford, wanted anonymity, and that was breached by someone who decided they should go to the media with her allegations. And that's very disappointing, but that's what happens in today's day and age. She asked for anonymity, and ironically, maybe the Republicans who are stepping forward to give her say, but she'll need to testify under oath about her recollection from 36 years ago.
All right, so there's where we stand. It's the October surprise in September, the 11th hour pitch here, and something that Senator Dianne Feinstein had been sitting on, the way I understand things, for a while now before it was brought up, and allegations made against Supreme Court nominee Judge Brett Kavanaugh, accusations made against Kavanaugh for something that happened back in the early 1980s, and coming forward, a name to go with this, Christine Blasey Ford, claiming Kavanaugh forced himself on her and tried to take her clothes off at a drunken party when they were teenagers. Some more insight on how this all works is our friend who spent a lot of time watching this in Washington, and of course back here at home. It's man who double duties, actually triple duties, R Street Institute, AL.com, and full-time Alabama fan, Cameron Smith. Hey, man.
Roll Tide, Sean.
Roll Tide. We'll get that out of the way. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Did you hear the open mic moment for Coach Saban that made it out?
I didn't.
I'll send you a link. It's exactly what you think he would be saying when you don't have a hot mic nearby, but he does. Now, I want to get into the accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, a lot of people are saying this is a lot like Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. Is that a fair comparison?
I don't think that it's a fair comparison insofar as The type of allegations and that they're sexual in nature are similar, but we're also with Thomas, I believe it was an allegation about conduct as an adult in an employment relationship rather than in this context, which was at a party in high school, as far as I can tell.
Right, and this situation, I think, has one more leg to this stool that makes it more interesting because, you know, I'm one of those throwbacks. What I actually want to know is truth, although it seems to put you on the outs here. But there's another person there, right? As the story goes, you have three people in this room. You have Blasey, you have Kavanaugh, and you have Mark Judge, who is the friend here, who was quoted in the Weekly Standard as saying, "It's just absolutely nuts. I never saw Brett act that way. That's probably going to get fleshed out." I mean, so there is somebody else. It's not just a he said, she said.
Right, and I think this is a situation where I've actually had a number of conversations over this, and we need to really be careful. We always look at the instant context and say, oh, well, clearly, like, this is damning evidence, this is bad. Well, no. I mean, we have a situation where, first of all, this happens to come out right before a confirmation vote, which, if that doesn't send up red flags, you're not serious. Second, when a woman makes a claim about harassment or assault or anything like that, if we've learned anything lately, it's to take them seriously, that they should be listened to. That said, if a mere allegation from decades ago is sufficient, particularly when we're dealing with a juvenile, to derail a Supreme Court nomination, I would hope that the evidentiary standard is much higher. But
what I argue that is that this is not a court of law. This is, the Senate, you know, doing senatorial duties is not actually the same thing.
Sure, but I feel actually very comfortable with, hey, this information came to light. It's certainly something, I don't want to dismiss this woman as crazy or some sort of liberal plant. I mean, she may have liberal proclivities, but it's pretty serious to make that kind of allegation. And so I think that hearing from her certainly is not a bad idea. This notion that she should just be summarily dismissed, I don't think that's right. On the same note, I don't think that her allegation itself, particularly when we have not just Kavanaugh in the space when this event allegedly transpired, but have another party who's saying, no, this didn't happen. I think that, yeah, she should be heard, but we should also hear from the guys saying, I was there and this did not happen. And then senators have to make a call on a confirmation vote. I know what Chuck Schumer and others are hoping is that this is sufficient to derail Kavanaugh, get it past the midterms, maybe the Senate flips to Democrats, and then, you know, we can have a new battle. I don't see that happening here. I do see her getting to say her piece. I do see the other gentleman being able to offer up, hey, this is not what happened, and then senators making a call and casting their votes. And frankly, based on what we've seen so far, I don't think it's sufficient to change the confirmation vote for Kavanaugh.
All right, so it's just going to be wounds he receives, but he still gets confirmed. Because, I mean, there are two things at question here, right? Number one, did this happen? Did this happen as is laid out? All right, that's a fair question. Let's find out, did this happen? And second, let's say they confirm somehow that that it did happen. I'm just, y'all settle down on the text line. I'm just saying, for sake of argument, it did happen. Is this, you know, at whatever level, description, if they were, is this something that keeps somebody from getting confirmed?
Well, what's interesting to me is, and this is a little bit of a wrinkle that I don't think people are thinking about, is a lot of the same senators on the judiciary that are saying, you know, if this is indeed confirmable, which, you know, that this happened this way, which frankly, I think we're sort of so far beyond being able to have any degree of certainty about what happened, that it's, I don't see that as likely. But even if it did, let's just make that assumption. I know those several of those senators who said, hey, you know, what happens for somebody as a juvenile shouldn't brand them for the rest of their lives and render them incapable of doing other things. And it's important to remember that, you know, Kavanaugh has never been in any way charged with any of this. There's never been a suit against him on any of this. This is, at this point, an allegation from a person. And so to say an allegation from decades ago is enough to professionally derail somebody when it's almost impossible to confirm what actually happened, that's a scary standard that I think we should be real careful about setting, in spite of the fact that the Supreme Court is a really important court, and we want to know the character of the people that are on it.
And this may be more right if this had come up, the timeline, you know, is of question here, but this actually would go back to the things that should be discussed in the confirmation. We've gotten so far into that it takes a political bent versus is this person morally and educationally qualified for the job?
Well, what if somebody's a juvenile delinquent? Like, let's take Kavanaugh and assume that Kavanaugh had a drug conviction as a juvenile, a conviction, not just an allegation, but had a drug conviction. Let's assume that it could be anything as a juvenile. Would these same senators be saying, well, you know what? He had a conviction as a juvenile. Therefore, his whole body of professional work since that time, his whole adult life, he's stayed out of trouble and frankly been an exemplary jurist. Well, I'm sorry, but like, because you had a conviction as a juvenile, you can't be on the Supreme Court. You can't do a lot of other things. I'm not sure I'm willing to go that far, and that's for a conviction. And so an allegation, that makes me real uncomfortable.
Yeah, and from a let me help me look through the partisan fog on this. Should I have, I mean, because I am somewhat bothered by the fact that Senator Feinstein sat on this information for that period of time that she knew, and there was this allegation, and it was only played later on in the thing. And I can't know if she was going to play it or let it just sit there if she didn't want to. But is there something there? Is there any kind of handle on that?
Well, I think that the tactical considerations are pretty obvious. And nobody wants to say that. Everybody's like, oh, well, this just happened to be when it came. No, it's not. It's absolutely not. The idea that is laughable if you believe that the timing here, I'm not talking about allegations or the substance.
No, I'm talking when about that
the
was
timing.
Played,
if you think right. The timing is coincidental, you're not being serious. Because if this had come out a month ago, a month and a half ago, we could have addressed it,
right.
Had hearings on it, had this dispensed with, and been cruising along to a vote.
Yeah, if you believe it's true, right? If you believe it's true, and you believe it is, you know, that this is true, and the American people, and therefore through their representatives, are going to say no to this person, you would have played it out early so it could, you know, reach its full zenith before a vote was taken. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, this is basically a last minute. Let's throw the wrench in here. And see if we can derail this thing and say, well, we don't have time before the October break. We don't have time before midterms. Let's try to, like, jam up the works. I think it's fair to hear her out. I think it's fair to schedule it very quickly for her to talk, for the other person in the room to talk, and Judge Kavanaugh have an ability to respond. And we can do that in a very short time frame. Apparently, she's expressed a willingness to testify. And
that's good.
We need to hear that out and move on.
Absolutely. Coming right back, more with Cameron Smith with the R Street Institute and AL.com. And Bobby asking a question on the text line that we had talked about this some this morning, Bobby, and I know a lot of people have been asking. You're trying to make this a corollary between what happened here in the senatorial special with Roy Moore and Doug Jones. And is it? Because Bobby says, here, Kevin, he says, it worked against Roy Moore. Why not try again? We'll let you answer that when we get back. Check in with Dr. Bill, news headlines, and then we're right back. This is Midday Mobile, Monday style. Glad to have you here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. My buddy Cameron Smith, AL.com, R Street Institute, hanging out with us and talking about the latest news out of Washington. Well, gosh, there's a whole bunch of it, but specifically allegations, accusations made against Supreme Court nominee Judge Brett Kavanaugh, and this coming from Christine Blasey Ford, who came forward in a story in the Washington Post claiming Kavanaugh forced himself on her, tried to take off her clothes at a drunken party as teenagers back in the early 1980s. Kavanaugh has denied this and now has a friend who was also in this scenario laid out in the room who is denying it as well. So there is a little bit of a wrinkle here, Cameron, where it's not just the he said, she said. It's actually there is another person. I don't know if that would be a supporting witness. I don't know how you qualify them, but there's somebody else in the room.
Well, and senators have the choice here of saying, well, okay, so here's an allegation. This goes to character and fitness, which is a fair criteria. I mean, obviously, we want to know that Supreme Court justices have the character and fitness to do the job. This is not a criminal proceeding. It's not a civil proceeding. It's a political one. And senators have to look at the information and say, hey, is Kavanaugh a person of character who's a good jurist who will do a good job on the Supreme Court? If the answer is yes, they should support him. And if the answer is no, then they shouldn't. And that's a judgment call. Mm-hmm. And if they get it wrong, voters hold them accountable. The idea that, you know, any senator here should be villainized for looking at the information and voting one way or another is kind of ridiculous because this is, again, happening so long ago, but there's also the question of what kind of standards are we creating here? If the allegation of criminal conduct against a witness saying this did not happen, if that's enough to scuttle these things, I've got some real concerns as to that standard being the one that we're going to apply because think about you and I at the break talked about drunk driving.
Yeah,
you know, is the allegation of, hey, I saw somebody drinking way too much. They got in the car. They endangered lives. Let's assume all of that is true. Okay. You know, if they did that in high school, if they did that in college, is that enough to say, no, for the rest of your life, you can't be at a high-level position? I'm not sure about that. And, I mean, even if you know, this is a situation where let's assume that it happened as is indicated and it's clearly criminal and it wasn't out there, it's still a juvenile proceeding. You know, does a juvenile conviction even if for this type of thing preclude someone for the rest of their life being on a high-level court or something like that? I'm not sure that's a conclusion we want to reach. I understand that it's politically convenient and expedient for Democrats right now, but, you know, what if this is somebody who, you know, is a Democratic nominee and there's a similar allegation? Are we all of a sudden going to say, okay, this is consistent, this is how we treat this? If this is an allegation, then sorry, you're done.
That's why I think Blasey needs to be, she absolutely needs to be heard and testify. We need to get facts and clarity here. But yes, when it turns into accusations, and especially accusations when somebody's a juvenile, what we have to ask that question. I think you're making a fair statement. Ask a question as a country, is that, and y'all get your partisan blinders off for a second, just anybody being nominated to office, is that a standard? Or which things would disqualify somebody, which things wouldn't? And back to Bobby's question before the break came in on the text line, said this worked against Roy Moore, why not try it again? Do you think there's an analog here?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that worked against Roy Moore. I mean, the notion that that was what sunk his candidacy, I'm not sure that that's entirely fair. I mean, there were a lot of dynamics there, but obviously it had a real impact. And yeah, unfortunately, welcome to new politics. Welcome to where we are right now as a country where we don't care. You know, this is, I mean, if you think this is a smear, look at the rest of the hearing against Kavanaugh. And I say against on purpose. I mean, trying to make him out like he is some kind of, like, villain is ridiculous and inappropriate, because that's simply not what's presented by the evidence. Watching Democrats, like, strategically cut up clips to make him look like some kind of monster when he just disagrees with some of their viewpoints, that's where we are right now. I mean, Republicans do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't a single party thing. I mean, but that's how we're acting, is if we can villainize the other side, we can make them dangerous and scary, and they're going to hurt you and hurt your children and your future livelihood, then, you know, we're winning. I think we're tearing our country apart with this kind of behavior. And frankly, I agree with the sentiment of drain the swamp. I'd flush the whole thing and start over.
Well, yeah, the problem is then you got to load it with new people, and I think in 4, 8, 12 years, you might see the same kind of wetland be created. But that's just my cynical theory. I think the swamp comes from the people over time, not a swamp that corrupts the people. But
I don't disagree with the, hey, would we get back there? I think the thing that we need to get back to is these are people who engage in public service, not forever public servants. And I think the career politician creates a lot of challenges for our country. And the only way that I see that we can really make some of those changes is we have to make Washington matter less. If we can do that, then okay, we can have politicians who do this as more of a civic pastime. But this notion of, hey, this is a job, you can do this for several decades, that's concerning to me, frankly.
All right. Well, speaking of the Washington swamp and the hits, let's bring it back home here for a second. And reading through John Sharp's story over at AL.com and a discussion headline here, in the Alabama governor's race, Walt Maddox banks on voters recognizing a link between Ivy and Bentley. So that's the latest plank in the platform here for Maddox is Ivy, just the connect, everybody we can connect. I know they're coming after Steve Marshall as well on this, but any connection you can make. I think the one between Ivy, you can make one argument with Marshall. Ivy takes the job because that's what the lieutenant governor does. I mean,
well, it's a conspiracy, Sean. I mean, that lieutenant governor, I mean, she should have just stepped and said, no, I'm not going to take this. I mean,
he doesn't offer her
ridiculous.
The job.
He I mean, like, you know, we know what's happening here. Ivy's ahead, and Ivy's basically like, I'm going to win this. I'm not going to play your silly patty cake game. And that's the play. I don't like it. I mean, I've been very clear about it. I'd love to see her debate Maddox, show what she's got.
Yep.
Maddox would love that. She's not going to do that. She's made that clear. And if the voters of Alabama say, well, that's enough for us to vote for Maddox, great. But I think, unfortunately, what's happened here is Maddox is continuing to grasp at straws. You know, liberal folks who want to see, and I shouldn't say liberal folks, Democrats who want to see Maddox elected or continuing to kind of make these same arguments. But I just don't see it. I think he's going to have a really, really tough time. Ivy's making no unforced errors. And the bottom line is, if the majority of Alabama's voters have to look at it, even if Ivy doesn't show up, even if she isn't all there, like, assume a lot of the stuff that's being circulated around, they'd still rather have her than have a Democrat who seems to be, you know, more in the Washington vein of Democrat than is, I think, consistent with the majority of Alabama. And that's kind of just the long and short of it. I know that's, you know, disappointing to Maddox, but I just don't see a path forward for him right now, and I haven't seen one for a while.
Yeah, I can jump in on that too. That, I mean, I've said the same thing from what I do for a living, just as a citizen. I like debates. I like to see that. I would like to see Governor Ivy debate. But let me go back to the beginning of this and point out, folks, if wherever you are on the political spectrum, if you hear the argument made that Governor Ivy is connected to Bentley because she became governor when Bentley left, Bentley did not make that decision. The state constitution, the bylaws of our state, is why she became governor. I mean, can't somebody at a Maddox event just step up and say, help me here, because I'm looking at my No Alabama book from seventh grade or whatever it is, and that's not how it works.
No, I mean, if I were advising Maddox, I'd try to tie her to, like, LSU or something like that. I mean, that's got a better chance of working than trying to tie her to Bentley. I mean, don't get me wrong. Bentley's unpopular, and he is an anchor, and he serves as an anchor for
Luther
Strange and other folks. But, like, this one just doesn't make any sense
right,
to me.
Right, it's not accurate. I agree with you. If you can find some back channel and tie people together, believe me, if I'm a political advisor, I'm going there all day long. But in this case, it just is not true.
If you're going to go with something that's kind of like skirting the truth, I mean, say, well, I saw her eating corn dogs and drinking Jack Daniels with Les Miles. And then, man, now Maddox is definitely going to get like 5-10 points. But this notion of, well, basically Bentley, I mean, she's got public statements. She's talked about, she's reversed some of Bentley's policies. She's done a lot to basically separate herself from Bentley, and the notion that, like, ooh, the stain runs deep. Well, if that's the standard, then, I mean, everyone in government, everyone who talked to Bentley who's a Republican, I mean, Maddox is spinning right now. He's going to keep spinning. And the problem is that Ivy's like everyone's favorite grandmother. I've written that. That's where we are, and Maddox trying to attack her makes him look angry. That dog does not hunt in Alabama, and he is going to have a very tough time.
But even if it was an incredibly unlikable person that was the Republican candidate for governor, I'm not saying they were bad for the job, but they were just unlikable or whatever, I would still point out that the way it works is when the governor has to leave, the lieutenant governor steps into that position. That's not a political thing.
No, but I don't think that... I mean, look, you and I have both been around this long enough to know that if the standard was like rational thought and process, we'd be a lot better off. But the idea of, you know, we just got to tire to Bentley. This is the process that happened, and we can make it sound kind of scary and sinister with, you know, some black on white graphics and some like eerie music. Like,
right.
I know people that do that for a living, and I know that they would think that that's certainly something worth doing. And then you're pointing out, well, you know, that's eighth grade, like, civics type stuff. And they're like, yeah, but it's really scary. And that's unfortunately where we are in politics right now. So
shaking my head.
Exciting.
Oh, man. There he is, Cameron Smith, R Street Institute and AL.com. People want to impugn you with non-factual accusations. Where do they go?
You can go to @DCameronSmith on Twitter. I appreciate black and white graphics with scary music. That really gets me moving. Or you can find me at al.com/opinion, and we can have some conversation.
Great stuff, Cameron. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.